Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
So if I had to title the message today anything, it would be down, then up, down, then up. And we'll explain what we mean by that as we walk through these scriptures together. But in literature, it's amazing how many stories we have of an incognito king or an unrecognized royalty. Throughout literature, we seem attracted to these tales of unrecognizable sovereignty. One of the most well-known and beloved tales of that is kind of an epic. It was written by J.R.R. Tolkien, and it's The Fellowship of the Ring. And in The Fellowship of the Ring, you have some hobbits who are on this epic quest, and as Sam and Pippin and Merry and Frodo set out, they meet a stranger at the Prancing Pony Inn in the town of Bree. Now, this stranger is a little bit unnerves them and everybody else around him. He's rootless, he wanders, and he's a ranger, and he's known by the name of Strider. But it's only later in this epic that we find out that Strider is actually the rightful king of men, and his name is Aragorn. And it's a great example of unrecognizable royalty, of an incognito king. And then we see in the tale of Robin Hood that as you work your way through that, that Sir Richard the Lionhearted is rumored to come back disguised as an abbot. In fact, in the epic novel Ivanhoe, Sir Walter Scott records that Richard the Lionhearted comes back disguised as the Black Knight. And interestingly enough, in 1999, King Abdullah of Jordan was reputed to have gone undercover as a journalist, and he would disguise himself and he would go out among the people and ask questions just to figure out what the people of Jordan really thought about issues. And we even know in the late 80s that Princess Diana disguised herself with sunglasses and like an army jacket and went out to a local pub with the comedian Cleo Rocos and Freddie Mercury. And so we have all kinds of examples of incognito royalty in our history. It's quite a drama of an unrecognized ruler. Ordinary people, even in scripture, encountered God at times in ways that they didn't realize who they had encountered at the moment. For example, in Genesis chapter 18, Abraham and Sarah are entertaining some strangers, and one of them happens to be identified as God himself. And Sarah actually laughs at God's pronouncement that she will get pregnant within a year. In Genesis chapter 32, Jacob is on his way back to a scary reunion with his twin brother Esau. And he meets this man who he wrestles with all night long. And only later does he realize that he's been wrestling with God, and he lives to tell the tale. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they're in captivity in Babylon, they're thrown into a fiery furnace because of their convictions and their refusal to bow down to some of King Nebuchadnezzar's decrees. And in the middle of that fiery furnace, they encounter a fourth person who is called a son of God. And many believe that is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus himself. Then Simon Peter had a dramatic first encounter with Jesus. As he's in the fishing boat, Jesus tells him to toss out the nets. And when Peter initially tries to resist that, he throws the nets out. They bring in this amazing catch of fish, and it leads Peter to fall on his knees and telling Jesus to go away from him because he is a sinful man. He realizes who Jesus is. And then after Jesus' resurrection, Mary Magdalene has this encounter with who she thinks is a gardener. And then later she understands that it's Jesus himself. And then also on that first Easter, two men are walking to Emmaus and a third joins them and begins to explain to them through the scriptures all of the things that are fulfilled in Jesus' life and death, and that Jesus had to rise again. And later on, as he breaks bread, they recognize that they had been in the presence of their incognito King of Kings himself. So in all of these stories, people are stunned to realize that royalty sometimes disguises itself and lives among us and walks among us, and God certainly does that. In Isaiah, we're told that one of the names of God is Emmanuel, which means God with us. We would love to be able to know when and where and how God is always at work around us, but sometimes he works in mysterious ways and he hides himself. This is indicative of our God being such a humble God, which we see in today's passage. So I want to invite you now to look at one of the most deeply Christological passages in the New Testament. A lot of people think it was an early Christian hymn or a song that the Christians would sing. One commentator says it's a majestic mountain peak in Scripture. Another says it's a pinnacle of theological truth. But the verses that we look at is Philippians 2, and I'll begin with verse 5, which we looked at last week, and then we'll read through verse 7. It says, "Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity." There are two interesting expressions in these short verses, but one of them is the form of God, and the second expression is the form of a servant. It says, "Who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant." So let's look at the form of God first. What does Scripture teach us about who Jesus really was? And I hope that this will be encouraging for those of you who may be skeptics, who may still be examining who Jesus claims to be. The New Testament is very clear about Jesus' identity. In John chapter 1, verses 1 and 14, it says that Jesus became flesh and dwelled among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And then in John 17, 5, Jesus referred to himself, and he says this, that the glory that I had with you before the world existed. So he's praying to his Father in John 17 and refers to the glory that he had with the Father before the world even existed. So these passages teach us so much about who Jesus is. Jesus is God himself. Jesus is the incarnate Father come to walk among us. But the amazing reality of these passages today, of this down then up reality, is that Jesus did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Some translations say as something to be grasped, but it says that he made himself nothing. He emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant. So he was in the form of God, but Jesus demonstrated his humility and his grace by taking the form of a servant. Paul would say that Jesus' attitude and mind was that he did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. What this points back to is what Paul was telling us in verses 3 and 4. He was telling the Philippians to consider others as better than themselves, and to look not only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then Paul would go on to say, adopt the same attitude or have the same mind as that of Christ Jesus, who, and then Paul gives this, quotes this beautiful, what some people think is a song, and he uses this to point out the mindset, the lifestyle, the attitude, the direction of our God in heaven, who emptied himself. He was up, he comes down, he dies on the cross, and then he goes up again. That is the directional signal of humility, is down, then up. It's best understood by showing that Jesus himself, as sovereign, as King of Kings, and as Lord of Lords, he had every right as such to demand, to claim, to use, to expect us to bow before his power, his influence, his sovereignty. But he rejected self-serving and he embraced self-sacrifice. Said he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the ultimate example of the incognito, humble king, that Jesus would choose identification with me, and would choose identification with you so that I might be saved from my sins, that you might be saved from your sins. And though it cost him everything, it only cost him everything for a temporary while. And this message is loud for us as well, that Jesus would come down in order to then go up. I think one of the messages that we can pull from this is that we should not live in this life grasping and grabbing and demanding and expecting people or circumstances to do things for us or for things to go our way. We don't have to achieve. We don't have to accumulate. We don't have to go, 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 go. We don't have rights to expect. Rather, we have ourselves to give, which is exactly the model that Jesus demonstrated for us and what Paul wants to highlight in this passage. Jesus would explain this to his disciples later in Luke chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. And this is what he would say. It's almost like a life hack, a life tip. And so Jesus says this: when you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, don't sit in the place of honor, because a more distinguished person than you may have been invited by your host. The one who invited both of you may come and say to you, give your place to this man. And then in humiliation, you will proceed to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when the one who invited you comes, he will say to you, friend, move up higher. You will then be honored in the presence of all the other guests. This is exactly what Jesus practices, in that he did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, making himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant. He served. So I think some important questions for us to ask in reflection on this passage today is, just how great do you think you are? I don't know if anyone will ever ask you that over coffee so directly, so I can ask it in safety behind a screen, but really, just how great do you think you are? How much respect and honor do others really owe you? When are you offended, and how easily? When are you rubbed the wrong way? What expectations do you have to be treated well and respected by others? How often do you get your feelings hurt? And how often do you feel taken for granted? I think as we reflect on those questions, and then we look at the model of Jesus, we look at the imperatives of Paul to consider others as better than ourselves, we rapidly realize that we need to let some of the air out of our ego tires, and that we need to remember that Jesus himself modeled the way of humility, and that he had every right to demand worship, and yet he invited adoration by giving his life for others. And so he expects Christians also to take up their crosses, to lay down their lives, and to live their lives without fear, giving themselves away to others consistently. The way of Jesus is down, then up. I like what one commentator says, that Jesus' status was not a pretext for grasping, but it was a platform for giving. We hear a lot about platforms today in our social media inundated world. You gotta have a platform. But Jesus used his platform not to demand attention and recognition and not to accumulate followers for status purposes, but he used his platform to give himself away and to invite followers. Think of Adam and Eve just for a moment at the temptation that Satan placed before them. Adam and Eve were invited to grab, to get everything they could, to see what looked good in their life and to get it now. It's the exact opposite of the way of Jesus, of denying yourself, embracing humility, recognizing your place, and serving others. The way of Jesus is down, then up. Matthew 20, 26, Jesus said, "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant." This same incognito king on the last night before he's crucified would take up a towel, he would wrap it around his waist, and then one by one he would move his way around the room and he washed the dirty feet of his astonished disciples. And let's remember that he created those feet and he created the dirt that encased those feet. And yet Jesus demonstrated to his disciples this process of servanthood and humility so that they would grasp the way down is up. James 4:10 reminds us, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at NorthStarFamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.